Now let's see. Sonny goes to Minnesota, finds out he doesn't have a future in stand-up. USDA is getting ready to announce the biggest report of the year that Chip says...
Hi, everybody. Chip Flory, host of AgriTalk here. Just reminding you, ignore the acreage.
Oh, yeah, and we've got to finish placing our order today of Canadian Club, Canadian Bacon, and some Molson for Haney to put on his chase card.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we've assembled the crew for another Friday free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Pam Johnson will talk through the issues of the day. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, in for the gallivanting Chip Flory, this morning's guest host, Farm Journal's news overlord, John Harris. Good morning, boss.
It's good to be with you, Davis. This is great. He's gallivanting today. No longer training, huh, Chip?
They've suspended the training. It just wasn't achieving the desired results, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's done this for, 23, 4, 5, 6 years? Something like that? He knows the drill.
Quite frankly, there's no getting ready for this crop tour.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, it's as they say, in uncharted territory today. Hey, and Davis, before we get to the news, have you gotten in your order with Sean Haney yet?
You know what? I'm fully stocked on Labatt's Blue myself, so I'm ready.
Yeah,
you know?
Have you seen the reports? Chase Bank wants to get out of Canada, mm-hmm. and they're looking at just forgiving Canadian debt. Mm-hmm. So we figure we got to stock up now. Haney will place the orders for us.
I'm thinking about changing my citizenship to Canadian and having all my debt forgiven. That would be great.
That would be great.
I would never do that, USA. I'm sorry I even said that.
All right. Well, Davis, what's moving the news barometer this morning?
Well, nothing really. While there has been no progress in trade talks between the United States and China, there has not been a shortage of developments. Today, China's central bank released its official midpoint reference for the yuan at its weakest level since April 2008. While very weak, analysts say the benchmark is actually stronger than what they had expected. This is the U.S. Treasury Department tagged China as a currency manipulator, and as the Trump administration readies another round of tariffs on export activity. Now, an official in China was noted as telling Chinese media sources, quote, the alternation of fights and talks is likely to become a normal status quo. We need to be prepared for the trade war to last a long time. John, this is something that I've been thinking about. You know, Xi Jinping is appointed for life.
Yeah, they don't think in four-year increments over there like we do here.
No, in fact, Wiesmeyer was saying that just the other day on the show, as I recall. They think in 100-year increments. Do I have that right?
Exactly. And in fact, you mentioned Wiesmeyer. He's going to have a breaking update on this story for us in the next segment here.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Well, meanwhile, the White House has delayed making a formal decision on licensing tech equipment from Huawei after China retaliated on that proposed move by halting promised purchases of U.S. ag products. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has received 50 requests for waivers on the Huawei ban from U.S. companies, according to Bloomberg. Capitol Hill has been silent on those possible waivers. You know, waivers is becoming one of those words, John. We've got waivers pending for the RFS. We've got now waivers pending for allowing U.S. companies to do business with Huawei. If you ask me, maybe what we need to waive is the waivers themselves, John.
Just waive waivers. We're done.
Yeah,
Waive the flag on waivers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, because if we're going to give ground on something that, like Huawei, which the White House has come out and said, we're concerned about this company because there may be national security threats in it. Are we really gonna waive on national security?
Well, and it's not just national security in the perspective of is Huawei putting in backdoors or whatever into network equipment, but also national security just in the face of do we let China control these global 5G networks that are going to be going up in the next year?
Right, right. And I don't even know. Are there... There have to be American companies working on 5G networks, aren't there?
Certainly. But so far, Huawei has been faster to market and more price competitive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And see, that kind of gets to the root of one of my big sticking points with this whole trade war. One of the things that we're asking for is for China to alter their business model that allowed companies like Huawei to become so enormously influential in the global market. And that's a pretty big ask.
That is a big ask, but it has been done largely by, well, let's just call it what it is, theft of American intellectual property.
That being, hey, you want to do business with us, you got to share your secrets, right?
Exactly. You got to. We have to have all the blueprints, all the designs, and be able to duplicate it here.
Yeah. See, that, I don't know. I guess I'm all for business collaboration, but it just seems kind of creepy the way that they do it because they've got the state organized or state involved in it as well.
Exactly.
Well, reports surfaced yesterday that U.S. Secretary of Ag Sonny Perdue and other Ag Committee officials were chided at a Minnesota listening session as farmers there are growing impatient with the ongoing trade war. But the Iowa Farm Bureau is highlighting other export opportunities for American agriculture. Iowa Farm Bureau President Craig Hill said, quote, "We have other opportunities," saying the U.K. announced they want a deal. They want to do something with the U.S. soon and before October 31 consummate some kind of a trade arrangement. We have opportunities with Japan and other places around the world, so we will concentrate and focus on those. Hill went on to say, however, that won't move the volumes of soybeans we've moved in the past. I've heard some farmers talk about how they feel like we've become way too reliant on demand from China for our U.S. ag products, soybeans in particular. Your thoughts there, John?
Well, become reliant on it because it's the world's biggest market. I mean, it's got to happen. If you're going to grow exports, that's where you've got to grow it in the large and growing marketplaces like China. But yeah, it hurts now. It's probably, even if this issue is resolved, it's going to continue to hurt for some time because we have gone at this so long that China is making changes in their buying habits and their buying structure that will probably outlive these trade talks.
Wow. Interesting to see how this all turns out. Well, another news, Bayer is proposing an $8 billion settlement to clear more than 18,000 lawsuits.
You're not going to do the Austin Powers thing with that?
$1 billion! Filed against 18,000 lawsuits filed against its glyphosate weed killer Roundup. Bayer's stock soared on the news, up 11% last I checked. And a Minneapolis judge has dismissed antitrust lawsuits against some U.S. pork companies. The suits alleged that the companies conspired to limit supplies in order to unfairly encourage profits. Judge John Thunheim dismissed the case, saying there was no evidence of parallel conduct among the companies, saying, quote, "It may be true that some of these defendants cut production in the years following 2009, but it may also be true that all of these defendants cut production." He wrote, "The fact that the complaints contain this ambiguity is exactly the problem and why he had to dismiss the case. Prosecuting attorneys have said that they intend to amend their complaints in light of the dismissal." John?
That's interesting. That's going to be interesting to watch to see how that court case progresses on and the implications of that. And you mentioned the potential Bayer looking at reports are $8 billion settlement for all of the glyphosate cases. Reuters this morning reporting saying that's not true. So we'll get into that with the guys and gals, Pam, here in the next segment. Talk about where that Bayer settlement is headed and what that means for production agriculture and the future of glyphosate and whether or not Bayer will be able to protect that for farmers going on in light of these cases. Davis, great chatting with you.
Hey, thanks, John. Great to talk to you, buddy.
All right. When we come back, it's the free-for-all on AgriTalk.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm John Harith, in for the vacationing, lollygagging, however you want to put it, Chip Flory. He'll be back with us on Monday for the report day and gearing up for crop tour the following week. But we're joined by the usual suspects on this Friday for the Friday free-for-all, starting with Sean Haney from Real Agriculture up in Canada. Sean, you don't mind if we solicit input from listeners on what to add to your chase card today?
I think that balance is getting pretty big, John. We got to be careful here.
Well, you got my case of Canadian Club on there, right?
I do. Yes, okay. Absolutely. But somebody was saying that Canadian beer, which, you know, that's great. You know, we got a lot of great breweries up here. But the increase in cost compared to American beer, it may shock a few of you that are putting this on the card.
Oh, really? Well, and
it's a lot more.
Yeah, Davis was talking about Labatt's. Let's stick with the Molson, okay?
Labatt's? Who's drinking Labatt's?
That was Davis. Crazy. Yeah, that is crazy.
It's news brew. It's news brew. It's not for everybody. I understand. I get it.
we'll let you have all of that, Davis. Thanks.
I'll take it.
Also with us, Pam Johnson from Iowa, which is being inundated by presidential candidates. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Hey, welcome, Pam.
Hey, good morning, John. And Sean, you can add a case of Crown Royal for me, please.
Okay, check. Got it.
Got it. All right. Perfect. And Jim Wiesmeyer, is there any good Canadian wine you want to add onto the list?
Plenty of Canadian wine, and use the card to ship the products.
All right. There you go. Well, you got the order done, Sean. And again, for those who weren't in the first segment, and Jim, I'll let you explain this. I guess Chase is looking to get out of the Canadian market.
Yeah, they are, you know, getting out of the Canadian market, and they thought the best way is just to forgive, in quotes, all the outstanding credit. We're trying to find out as of what date.
All right.
Get your orders in before that. It just shows you how much money a credit card company makes, that they make enough money off the interest of those debts that they can just say, you know what? It's okay.
It's all right.
Excuse the debt. It's fine.
It's Canadians. They're nice. They're polite. We'll just let them have it.
Yeah, how Canadian of Chase.
That is very Canadian of Chase. Well, Jim, if we're done with our orders, you've got some breaking news for us on the China front. What's going on?
Yeah, U.S. equities fell after Trump raised the possibility that a meeting with China on trade might be canceled. He said, we'll see whether or not we keep our meeting in September. And now word has broken, citing One America News, that the White House would end China trade talks if Beijing conducts a crackdown on Hong Kong protests. I would watch that over the weekend, because late reports show that some of the protesters have occupied the Hong Kong airport.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so some serious news there, and very serious.
Yes.
If that September meeting is canceled, that does not bode well at all for progress on China. And Davis, thanks for the alert news, the alert music there. Jump in here anytime you want to on the conversation here as well.
Standing by, yes. Well, and on that note, did I read that there's been pictures and personal information of a U.S. diplomat released in China? Or is that in Hong Kong? I'm sorry, Jim?
In Hong Kong, and there's been a war of words, between the parties involved. And this is very typical of relations between countries that are on a free fall path, regretfully. This is, part of the negativity.
Well, yeah, and dare I say it's
very dirty pool.
Straight out of the Communist Party textbook, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you should, reading the media reports, the editorials, if you will, in China, this is a coordinated program. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, the
bottom line, it's not good for us. It's not good for agriculture. It's not good for getting this resolved and getting exports back on track. And that's what we'll be watching over the weekend, along with the financial markets.
Yeah, and USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue went to Minnesota this week to Farm Fest and really got an earful about this, didn't he, Jim?
Yes. I had to chuckle somewhat. This is not a funny item. When some of the news reports quoted NFU and NFU members, I mean, they obviously tilt very, very Democrat, and that's an understatement. It's like asking, like a cold call to Pam Johnson and ask her about President Trump. But I do hear some of the negative growing. There's no doubt about that. Whether or not, what percentage that is, I have no idea. But there is cause for anxiety for some of the reasons Pam legitimately says. We're not seeing much progress, if any, in China, and a lot of high anxiety for the future in exports.
Well, a lot of the reporting centered on a joke told by the USDA secretary, a very, very old. This joke may be as old as you are, Jim.
I think it's an Earl Butz joke.
I think it is an Earl Butz joke about what do you call two farmers in a basement and a wine cellar. Not exactly it's a joke that Sonny Perdue probably could have gotten away with in a different venue, but totally wrong message for this venue and this audience and what was being discussed there, Jim.
I think it was in very, very poor taste. And had he been out in the audience listening to the voices from genuine, authentic farmers like I've been for a long time, and not wanting to publicly tell their story until now, but now just reaching the breaking point and having to hold the Trump administration accountable for causing this trouble in rural America. So the stories I've been hearing is, my family went through the 80s. We can't afford to do this again. And like I said last week, just in my local community, hearing women who are worried about their husbands being suicidal because of bank loans. And the guy who says, I want to be a patriot, but when I go to the bank, and I think we've said before, you can be a patriot and disagree with somebody's ag policy, but going to the bank, that isn't going to carry water when my banker looks at me and says, oh, you're a patriot. Well, then this loan's going to be renewed for next year. So there are many heartbreaking stories out in that audience of thousands of farmers that I think the secretary should have paid some attention to.
Well, any joke it requires good timing. That's kind of bad timing.
Yeah.
The other side of it, too, is it's very similar to, President Trump's tweets, I think it was last week, about how the MFP payments make farmers whole. It's just, they're sort of they're missing the tone of what's going on a little bit here, and they've been so attached to it. They've understood it throughout this, the whole last 3 years, but they seem to be a little bit detached right now with how serious the situation is and how concerned people are. Do I think that it's going to make people vote for the other side? Absolutely not. But frustration, I think, is definitely growing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good assessment of it, Sean. And I think there's... I think you're right that there is a disconnect, or there is not a full understanding in the White House of what the situation is with American farm families. I think they look and thought, okay, we did the MFP payment, that box is checked, we can move on, not understanding the depth of what's going on, and that MFP, while helpful, does in no way heal the problems that are going on in rural America that are largely caused by the rift with China.
And John, to think that this policy, this ag policy, is so retrograde that we've moved back to direct payments and disaster payments being the sole support for farmers, when many of us, all of us, have worked for decades to build a market-oriented farm policy and made it as a place where farmers could participate in risk management and build markets and build relationships. And it's like all of that is just trashed now, and it's very disheartening.
And how long is that
trashed? And it has exposed the weakness of the 2014 and then followed 2018 Farm Bill of how anemic the safety net is. When we went for the ARC program, when we should have, you know, gone for higher reference prices and had a far better safety net.
Well, I disagree. And I think the bigger picture is that safety net would be manageable and whole had we been able to participate in a growing ethanol market, in a growing global world trade market. And, you know, it's now all of those things are put on hold, are moved backwards for us.
Well, we choose to disagree, because in the 2014 Farm Bill with the shallow loss payment program, when prices were nearing their peak, they gave the Midwest 2 to 3 times the canceled, you know, direct payments. And I think we're going to rue the day. And now we're getting retrograde, to use the word, you know, proposals from some Democratic candidates to go back to a grain reserve. We have groups calling for production controls where the clear evidence says they do not work.
Well, maybe, but I think it's up to us to, I think, well, we can talk about this after the break because I hear the music.
and we will come back to this because that is interesting, Jim. I had the same thought when I saw some of those Democratic proposals this week of, wow, is there no sense of history here? We'll talk about that when we come back after the break.
Platform for agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And that expert from ProFarmer, Brian Grady, ProFarmer editor with us. Brian, soybeans in the green this morning. What's going on?
Well, we're seeing more short covering, I think, ahead of Monday's reports. Obviously, some big numbers coming out from USDA. The funds are still short, so they're covering up a few of those short positions in this pre-report trade. We have backed off our highs a little bit, but we're still showing gains, mostly around a penny or two in most of the contracts. Now, the corn market was also firmer earlier on, but it's backed off, and we're trading 1 to 2 cents lower there. The difference being the fund positioning heading into the reports and not having to necessarily cover shorts there. Wheat's kind of caught in the middle, a little bit of back and forth trade in the SRW contracts, but we do have the HRW and spring wheat futures under some pressure this morning.
All right, what about the livestock side?
Well, as we look at the livestock trade here, still waiting on active cash cattle trade to develop. We have seen some steady to slightly weaker bids coming in, but we are seeing a little bit of price strength in the futures this morning, live cattle futures. Feeder cattle, despite the downturn in corn here, are still trading under a little bit of price pressure. And then the hog market, it's got a widely mixed tone, anywhere from strong gains in the August contract, which expires next week, to sharp losses in the October contract. So, I think the biggest thing with the hog market right now is just trying to figure out when and if the U.S. and China will get a trade deal and what that means for pork exports down the road. There's been anticipation that we will see stronger pork exports to China. But without a trade deal, I think there's a lot of uncertainty on that front.
All right. Thanks, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
And welcome back to the free-for-all on AgriTalk. I'm John Harreth, Farm Journal News Director, sitting in for the Chipster today, who is finishing up his last day of vacation. He'll be back with us Monday, of course, on that big report day. Jim Wiesmeyer, as we went to break, you and Pam Johnson, a farmer from Iowa, talking about the policies we heard out of the Democratic presidential camp this week that sounded a little bit too familiar, Jim.
Well, I can understand the fervor to want to idle some of the existing grain to prop up prices, and by others to perhaps go back to production controls. Roger Johnson, a very, very good gentleman who heads up the NFU. I heard him at a sugar meeting in North Carolina this week, and he had some creative ideas on maybe having a super conservation reserve program to idle more acres and perhaps going through the crop insurance program. I'm not quite sure what he was meaning by that, so I've got to call him on that. But bottom line, this is what you get when you all the time when you have cascading lower prices. You want to idle that, but we're in a global market, and if we prop up our prices, it'll just make us even less competitive in the export arena.
Well, and Pam, doesn't history tell us that this is not exactly a great road to go down?
Well, I think we find ourselves in a place now that we're trying to scramble and figure out what is the best policy moving forward. And like I said before the break, we were all about expanding trade. And as Jim says, we got to be in that global marketplace. So if we idle, I've never been a a proponent of supply management. And if we idle, Brazil steps in. It's really apparent in China now. And I don't think Brazil's going to complain if they're have a large share of China's business. We want our large share of China's business back. So, you know, back to the candidates, I was at Amy Klobuchar's rollout of her ag policy, and I don't think you can paint with a broad brush that anything Democrat is bad, bad, bad. So I heard her from the podium denounce the SREs, the small refinery exemptions, and also address the tariffs. And so I think it behooves all of us. So you got to look. So what's your alternatives? You're going to hang with Trump and keep on this long trail of trade war and look at where you are now? Because actually we have forced supply management here. We got corn and beans laying in bins because farmers are trying to look for some hope about better days. And we have...
You know, Senator Klobuchar is the moderate that I know a lot of people are hoping has a breakout moment in these upcoming debates. I mean, she needs it because, like you said, Pam, she is the more reasonable candidate as far as policy is concerned and at least has an open ear for alternatives.
Yeah, well, I think go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things that's positive here, whether we agree or disagree with some of the things the candidate said, the reality is I think the Democrats clearly got the message in 2006 from 2016 that they actually have to talk to rural America because it was a big swing and a miss for them in that election. So at least ideas are being exchanged. Some of the talks about the grain reserve and this is just, it's just funny how we're constantly ignoring. We don't learn from their. We try to teach our kids to learn from their mistakes, but we're as adults and policymakers, we're not doing that. It's really, really unfortunate.
Yes, and I talk a lot to the hog producer groups, and just to feel their anxiety too, because the longer this goes on with China, of course they're losing a growing market there, but they're also seeing Chinese investment going into Brazil, Argentina, pork production, South Africa, Ukraine. So this is a long-term negative development potential for them as well.
Well, and I'll remind all the Republican listeners to this program that it wasn't too long ago that President Trump was throwing out some words in terms of some of these ideas as well, and we were trying to talk them back off that cliff. So there's a lot of bad ideas all around.
And I think you bring up a good point, Sean, is how important it is to get to these people and to explain why their ideas might look good on paper, but in reality do not for farmers. So I found that the movement up at FarmFest was very refreshing when there are more people in leadership positions getting up and challenging some of these ideas and saying why they don't work and maybe taking a look at what the alternative might be with a moderate, even though she's a Democrat, and looking at her support of agriculture through her past history. I mean, that's how you gauge people. And then weighing in and telling them, yes, this idea is great. No, this one isn't so great. And here's why. And here's how I can make your policy better. Fortunately, as Iowans, we've had that opportunity every time caucuses come. Get up front and personal and explain and tell your story and then hold them accountable.
Well, and also all of these ideas, including the Trump trade policy, is they're very expensive. I mean, we're going to be at $28 billion in MFP over 2 years, already talking about a third year of that. Any of these programs that would reduce production would be very expensive to provide the inducements to reduce production. And to your point, Pam, it's much, much cheaper to have availability of markets.
Yeah, and those payments are not sustainable, right?
Right.
And so, Jim, I have to disagree with you on the 2014 Farm Bill policy because I was a part of that and helped build that policy and implement it. And many farmers outside of the Midwest signed on to the ARC when they had the choice of the price loss because it wasn't made to make us whole, but it was a piece of risk management when we were allowing our markets to open and our grain to move. And so here we are now.
Yeah, I just like a better safety net when prices are very low rather than providing 2 to 3 times the old direct payments when prices were at or near the peak.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to the presidential candidates, because you're getting inundated with them right now, Pam. They're in Iowa. The Iowa State Fair is going on. Several of them making a pass through there. Of course, the airwaves are packed with ads for the candidates. What are you hearing? How are the residents of Iowa responding to the slew of Democratic candidates that are trying to pitch their messages there?
Well, I think they're trying to sort out the messages and what they're hearing to actually, you've got to drill down into what the specifics are, but they have the opportunity to go to the state fair or to go to their local county meetings and meet the candidates, which is really great because you can build those relationships early on and talk about ethanol or talk about, you know, lack of trade or talk about how the weather's devastated you. And you really, you know, you need that market facilitation payment, but really, truthfully, please help me get back into the marketplace. I've heard that over and over and over.
Hey, Sean, I'm curious, from a Canadian's perspective, do you see that kind of retail politics on the Canadian side of the border out at fairs and public events?
As a part of a politician, you got to hit the fairs, you got to hit the parades and wave and shake hands and kiss babies and do the thing, right? The one thing that's different here, John, is that when we have these leadership sort of races, they don't go over the course of what feels like 5 years.
Yeah, indeed.
It's, you know, we're going to have a federal election this fall. It's, you know, we're mid-August. The writ hasn't even dropped yet, and the election will be by November. Just, it happens much quicker. If you look what happened, the UK is very similar. So it's just, in the US, this whole process is so drug out. It just, as an outsider, it feels a little bit ridiculous how long it does take.
Right. Well, Jim, in the messaging that we're hearing out of Iowa, is anybody rising above the clamor of the 20 other 19 candidates?
Not yet. And the Iowa caucus and the, well, even at the fair, usually is not, you know, very good to the front runner. So we'll have to see if Biden slips after the Iowa fair. The history is not in his favor on that.
All right. Well, a couple of minutes we've got before the break. Let's turn to this potential of a bear settlement. First, Pam, if I get your reaction, talking about maybe $8 billion paid out to settle these glyphosate claims. A, do you think it's going to happen? And B, do you think it's good for the future of the industry?
No. Well, I don't know if it's going to happen. Is it good for the industry? No. You know, so we've gotten down to litigation and non-science arguments and hazard-based versus risk-based and the power of marketing never became clearer to me visiting my mom. And she says, you know, maybe we shouldn't use Roundup anymore. And I said, Mom, we could not have moved your farm and my farm to no-till without Roundup. And here's why Roundup is safe. But it just hit home to me how the marketing has skewed everything, and we don't pay attention to the fact that it's a risk base, which is the same, the science tells us, as drinking coffee or being exposed to sawdust. So I'm always dismayed about science doesn't rule the day or rule the decisions, and it's more emotion. So as a farmer, have seen the consolidation in the industry and dismayed, because I know it's because of the cost of things like this and the cost of bringing new products to market.
All right, we're going to continue this when we come back from the break, because the flip side argument is, if Bayer pays $8 billion and is able to protect the availability of glyphosate, is that enough of a win? We'll ask that question when we come back after the break. It's a free-for-all for Friday on AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
The 2019 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is coming soon. Kicking off August 19th, watch for extensive coverage on air and online. The premier sponsor of Crop Tour is Pioneer, with support from IBM, RCIS, RAM, AeroVironment, Titan Tires, Farm Mobile, and Farm Credit Services of America.
Be sure to be watching agweb.com starting Monday. We'll be ramping up some more of our pre-crop tour coverage, of course, with especially with the reports coming out on Monday. We're going to start talking about those reports in just a minute here on the free-for-all on AgriTalk. But Pam Johnson, as we went to the break, we were talking about this potential bear settlements, and I posed the question to you. Again, I get that we all are frustrated that these decisions about the crop tools are not based on science, but given the legal position that Bayer is in with glyphosate, is it worth the cost to pay $8 billion to protect the continued use of glyphosate?
Well, you know, that's something Bayer has to decide. Is it worth it to me as a farmer? Yes. But then here's another thought is there will be another litigation. It might be another company. It might be another product. But this has to stop, because otherwise farmers are not going to have the access we need to many crop protection products and innovation, whether it's biotech, GMOs, or now the new gene editing. And that's why we're all working hard to make sure that farmers continue to have that access.
And it is pretty frightening from our side and pretty enticing from a trial lawyer side that you can get $8 billion without having to prove the scientific case.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It's somewhat disturbing. Jim, what do you think? Where does this head next?
Well, the plaintiff lawyers, this $8 billion would just be a starting point for them. They've already said they want more than $10 billion. And how do you identify the people supposedly impacted? And how do you compensate consumers who are not yet diagnosed? I agree totally with Pam on this one. If you base it on scientific evidence, there's not a case. Follow the label. And two, this sets a very dangerous precedent, period.
Well, And now the chum's in the water for those lawyers,
yeah.
Right? You can't turn on a TV channel in parts of the U.S. without seeing the ambulance chasers at work. And it hurts long-term from the standpoint of investment. Companies are more cautious on releasing products into this space. We're already at a point where we're super concerned about things like weed resistance. We have a lack of new actives coming into the market. This kind of stuff doesn't help. It really, really hurts this sector.
Indeed. All right, well, let's in the last few minutes we've got, let's talk about these Monday reports. And again, Chip left us this message about what's coming out from USDA on Monday.
Hi, everybody. Chip Flory, host of AgriTalk here. Just reminding you, ignore the acreage.
So there's Chip's two cents. Pam, what are you going to be watching when the reports come out from USDA on Monday? Hopefully giving us a first real glimpse at what the true picture is on Prevent Plant.
I think that's the biggest thing. But, you know, the even bigger thing we won't get this week, it will be harvested acres.
Right.
But I think this will help separate the last report when Prevent Plant or Intent to Plant was included with corn acreage. It's just specially planted. So I'm not sure how much it will tell us. Not to say they're not trying to do the best job they can. Hey, and I'm looking forward to the Pro Farmer Tour data.
Yeah, and I mean, that really puts the focus on that crop tour, the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, this year more than probably any year in its history since 1993. How intently, Pam, are growers going to be watching that? And also the marketers going to be watching that?
Yeah, you know, we're all trying to figure this out, and I've seen pictures of corn planted after June 1 and corn planted when the guys were able to get a little bit in early. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like a little pencil, some of that corn, and drive-by fields all over that you know aren't going to make a corn crop that are going to have to be chopped for silage. And looking at the bean crop coming on also and now being attacked by thistle caterpillars and because of all the rain, you know, mold and mildew. So I don't know what to tell John. I think, you know, we'll get the report. We'll listen to it. Will the market and traders react? I don't know. There's so much stuff that's moving the market now that's out of our control.
Well, but everything that's come in so far has been, you know, windshield surveys that we've all been doing. And, you know, I did the same this week. I drove the last 2 days, drove down to Union City, Tennessee and back. And most of the way saw pretty, at best, mediocre corn, in some places, horrible corn. Where you did see beans, there wasn't much to it. Until I got down to Tennessee, then both corn and soybeans looked gorgeous and really nice looking cotton, too. So there are pockets out there that are doing well. But this, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour is going to be the first time that we've got a large group out in actual fields crossing the majority of the Corn Belt and really giving us that hands-on look of what this up till now mystery crop looks like, other than the bits and pieces that we're seeing now.
Yeah, for sure.
And trying to figure out as well as you get into those fields and you get your estimates together and then thinking ahead to what some of this fall weather is going to be. And are we going to get an average frost, or are we going to get that big open fall that we really, really need to get this corn crop finished and in the bin?
And John, remember, this NASS estimate is as of August 1. And, right. You know, traders will fade that number knowing full well the weather after August 1 was less than desired for both corn and soybeans, especially corn with the need for, pre-sip. But I hope NASS puts in a box on their report saying how they utilize the FSA and perhaps RMA data. I think it's needed to come to grips with how they factored in some of the acreage numbers, Chip Flory notwithstanding.
Yeah, and Jim, that's something I want to get into with you on the Signal to Noise podcast later on this afternoon is, NASS has to follow their procedure and their policy in doing this, but why aren't they publicizing some of the other data that USDA has that more fully tells the story of what this crop is doing this year? We'll talk about that in the Signal to Noise podcast. It'll be available later on this afternoon on agweb.com and wherever else you get podcasts. Pam, Jim, Sean, great talking with you guys this Friday. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Awesome stuff.
All right.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Make sure you get those orders finished with Sean so he can load up that Chase credit card before they catch on to us. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the Friday free-for-all. Chip Flory will be back on Monday. He'll be talking with Machinery Pete. He'll be talking with Jim Wiesmeyer, catching up on the latest policy news from over the weekend. And a special look forward to the Farm Progress Show that's coming up Monday on AgriTalk.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.